Hello and welcome to Backflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British series. And that was, of course, the Imperial March, the theme song of the evil empire, New York Yankees, who are coming here to London this time next year, just about June 30th, 2019, the big day, the day that we've all sort of heard about for a couple of weeks, but now is thoroughly confirmed. It's going to be Red Sox versus Yankees at the London Stadium in the Olympic Park in Stratford, and it is absolutely fantastic. And of course, we're right out of the traps with a podcast. You may have been following us on Twitter this afternoon and know that we had some representation there on the day, throwing shade at Hal Steinbrenner, as we have again at the start of this podcast. Tom Pringle, you've had a bloody day, haven't you?
I am knackered. I was explaining to you boys beforehand, I was up at 5:30, 6 o'clock with the kids this morning. And then today has absolutely drained me, but what an experience, just incredible.
So we're gonna get into that. We're going to unpack the events of the afternoon. And alongside Tom and myself, I haven't even introduced myself. I'm so excited. It's John here. Sorry, people. You probably told it from the Northern accent. But the other person on our panel this evening, because Darius is poking monkeys in Sumatra, it's the man, the myth of MLB Twitter, which is back. And the man behind MLB Twitter is here. It's Ben Carter. Ben, it's been a big day for you as well. You've been all over Facebook.
Yeah, it's been a huge day. Tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming and all the fun stuff, which, yeah, I mean, nothing on Tom's big hard-hitting journalism, but still pretty tough work either way. So it's been great fun, actually. Been waiting for this day for a little while, and it's lived up to expectations, I think.
It's been a bit of a coming out party for you today, Ben, hasn't it? It's been a while. You've been taking the flack in the DMs and in the mentions for quite a while about your lack of presence, and we've had to keep our powder dry, so to speak, because we kind of knew what the reasoning was. And are you just happy that the news is out there that you are still officially working for MLB, never mind anything else?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to, you know, be the one to have to toot the trumpet of MLB without anything to back it up. I knew there was a plan in place, but I didn't want to spoil anything. But yeah, hopefully today we'll show people that MLB does care. They have terrible policy when it comes to hiring people to run their social media accounts, but that person does occasionally click tweet and post and whatever the other ones are. So yeah, it's been nice to get to do that and see people react to the video and to the other stuff that we've been doing and press conference. So yeah, nice day.
Excellent. It has been a nice day. It's been exciting and nerve wracking for us all. I have to say, I was on tenterhooks, and I was just listening to it at my desk in Stockport this afternoon. I didn't even put the pictures on just in case anyone caught me. I could pretend I was doing work because I had a spreadsheet open. But yeah, I was excited. So I can't even begin to imagine the emotions that were going through your mind, Tom, as you were there in the Regent Street Cinema in central London this afternoon. Yeah, it was pretty exciting for you, wasn't it? So do you want to give us a bit of a rundown of what happened this afternoon?
Yeah, I think excitement's an understatement. Today was just incredible. I think I texted to you a couple of times just saying, mate, this is insane, like seeing what was happening right in front of me. So when I first got to Regent Street Cinema, as you said, I sort of, being the good military man that I am, I did a little recce before going to have a little bite to lunch. So I thought I'd walk past it and then go to a restaurant. And as I walked past, I could see Regent Street Cinema, the sort of sign that's at the top of the door. And then just draped down to the side of each door was just a little MLB logo. And it just said MLB London Series. Like, oh, here we go. This is it. This is good. There's a little barrier there with two men guarding the barrier and people trying to get in. And I just thought, this is going to be brilliant. I can't believe this is happening. So walking in there, it was, sort of going in, getting your press pass, which, again, I'm still clutching it now. You probably see it on the screen, you two. I'm still clutching it. I can't believe that we've got a press pass. I'll keep saying that all the way through this, and I don't care. Essentially go in there, there's a bunch of people just hanging around. It looks like there's a lot of journalists and people who all know each other. A lot of food and a lot of drink available, non-alcoholic, probably for the best, because I may have asked some contentious questions to Rob Manfred, which we may or may not have discussed in the Slack chat. But then, yeah, going into Regent Street Cinema. So it's pretty much what it says on the tin. It's a cinema. And as I walked in, someone was explaining that it was the first location that a film had ever been shown in the UK. Now, I have no idea if that's true. You probably know, John. I have no idea.
It is true.
It's a tiny little cinema. There's not that many seats in there. But on each of the seats, there was a load of reserve signs for various people to do with the Red Sox. And I knew that Sadiq Khan and Rob Manfred were going to be there, but I had no idea who else was going to be there. So I went to the little media section that was about three or four rows back in the cinema. And on each seat was a swag bag, which I can go through later if needs be. But essentially, yeah. We grabbed quite a bit of gear, which, to be honest, we're going to give a lot of it away. So look out for that in the future. But then as I opened up my little pack that I had, which I'm now going to struggle to find, I just want to show you two on the podcast just so you can see it. So it's essentially a little booklet. It just says London Series 19. And it's got all the little posts in it saying old rivalry, new ground. And it then goes on to talk about the history of the rivalry between the Red Sox and Yankees. It goes on to the history of baseball in London, which is a lot of stuff in there I didn't realize. But at the back, there's these cards, which I'm assuming was for the press. And the cards, not as in your traditional baseball cards, it's like an A5 sheet. And this one says Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball. And there's, you know, 9 or 10 paragraphs just explaining what he did and everything. So I looked at that one. I went, oh, okay, Rob Manfred's definitely here. That's good. Next card I read, I was like, John Henry. Oh, shit. The owner of the Red Sox is here. Okay. That's interesting. And then I pulled the next card. Harold Z. Steinbrenner. Holy shit. The owner of the Yankees is here. This is mental. And then it was Jennifer Steinbrenner. I was like, oh, wow. Sadiq Khan. Well, I expected that one. Tim, I don't, forgive me if I get this wrong. Tim Slavin, or Slavin maybe, from the MLBPA. And I thought, wow, they've really got everywhere here. And then it was Fran Charles of MLB Network. And I was like, wow, they're serious about this. Not just two people coming up and just making a quick announcement and that was it. I mean, bearing in mind the location's pretty special. The fact they put all this food and drink on as well. And then they've got all these people. And then there were the Hall of Famers that just pitched up as well out of the woodwork. I can't even think who it was now. It was Dave Winfield, Javier. Oh, I can't remember the names of them.
Clearly still has to do something to get paid.
Why was he? I don't understand, surely.
That was random, wasn't it?
Is it 2032? He's still getting paid until?
Yeah, clearly making him sing for his supper, the MLBPA.
He's
out of the house.
Yeah, that's true. So as I got in there, disaster struck immediately as I realized that Three, the fabulous network that it is in Oxfordshire, had zero signal inside the cinema. And I looked around and people around me all had signal and were tweeting and checking messages and thought, this is not good. I need to be able to tweet about this. I need to be able to put messages out there. So I went racing outside to the reception area again. And this was about 12:45, bearing in mind it's meant to start at 1:00. I said, does anyone know if there's a Wi-Fi code? And the press guy that was there in charge of everything, who was just running around with his head on fire, said, in fact, no, that's a lie. He was very cool about it all, to be fair. And he just looked very busy. So not head on fire. He went racing off to go and find a Wi-Fi password, then was dishing it out to loads of people because it's, by the looks of it, nobody really had any passwords available. Any connection available for their laptops and iPads, etc. So we all eventually got Wi-Fi and then I can actually start live tweeting. And honestly, I was getting serious chills down my spine just watching all this stuff develop. And it got to 1:00. We were told there's going to be a delay for half an hour because they were stuck in traffic. We got to 1:25. They got told it's going to be another 20-minute delay. And then I think it was about 1:45, maybe 1:50, that Fran Charles ended up come walking out onto the stage and essentially announced it. Rob Manfred then came out.
You'd already been on the screen by then. Did you realise that they put the live stream on and it was literally your face talking to two journalists behind you, who I believe you were explaining baseball to from what you told me.
Mm. So that was quite interesting, actually. So just before we get to that, so when Ron Manfred did his bit, they then played the video, which you've probably all seen now on Twitter, where it's the very short video. It's probably about 2 minutes long, maybe not even that, of just essentially promoting baseball in London. And I got a serious shiver down my spine. I was like, this is incredible. And when that video finished, I turned around to those two journalists that I've been chatting to and I said, that's why I'm excited. this has really sorted it for me. So anyway, yeah, these two journalists, as I'm sat there, so as I walked in, I ended up introducing myself to, and let me get his name right, Gulraj Puwal, who's actually the, bloody hell, what am I trying to say?
New head of marketing for MLB.
That's it, sorry, yeah. I keep going to say merchandising, but it's marketing. So he's the new head of marketing for MLB, and I ended up chatting to him, and he had no idea about baseball at all. And he admits that. He said, look, I'm still learning the game. He said, I've come from the FA. I'm going to start working and doing this. And, you know, I suppose it's one of those posts where it doesn't really matter if you're heavily involved in the game in the past. You can, you know, spin your skills onto it, and that's not a problem. I'm sure MLB UK wouldn't have hired him if that wasn't the case. But behind me, I could hear this conversation going on between, I'd say, a journalist of about 45 plus and maybe one who's heading towards his late 50s. And they were trying to work out, you know, what a field for the baseball is called, what they play on, trying to eventually get to, you know, diamond or ballpark or something along those lines. And then they started discussing about, you know, well, how long do these games go on for? You know, is there ties? Can you draw in these games, or, you know, is there a time limit? And it just got to the stage where I just thought, I'm not angry about it. And I'm still not angry about it now, because those guys have been sent there to go and report on it. And that's fine. I get that. Maybe a little bit of research before they're gone. But, you know, they've got a job to do to go over there. And I thought, do you know what? I'll just give them a bit of information and let them know. Because they then started saying, you know, is this the first time it's come to Europe? So then I explained about all the different places it's been before, mentioned about Cuba, the exhibition game they've done there, mentioned about Japan next year, mentioned about Australia, 3 years ago now? Was it 2 years? I think it was 3 years ago. I mentioned about all these different places and the fact that it was part of Rob Manfred's dream to get baseball to be international. So I think I kind of helped them. But it was quite amusing when one of them just looked at me and he went, how do you know so much about this game? I don't understand. And I was like, well, I watch it and I enjoy it and I want to learn about the game.
I am the game.
But it just seems like it's such a strange question. If you ask somebody about cricket and they showed a bit of knowledge, you wouldn't go, how do you know so much about cricket? It just seems such a strange thing to say. Yeah. So then once it all finished, it then got to questions. And that's when I asked my question to Rob Manfred.
Yeah, I was very impressed with you, by the way. I was going to say this, that you you didn't just ask a question. You got a big plug-in for the podcast. So there's like a 25-minute video that if people watch it, there's basically you popping up and saying, hello, my name is Tom Pringle from the British UK-based baseball website, batflipsandnerds.com. So... it's almost like you were reading it off a cue card. I couldn't see you.
I know I texted you about it earlier, but Ben doesn't know this. I did actually practice that in the car about 3 or 4 times on the way down. I was like, I need to get this right. I can't stumble on my words before I go. I know what I'm like. If I get excited and start thinking ahead too quickly in my brain, I just start to mumble and it goes into a mess. So I was like, I've got to get this right. I must get this right.
Well, you did. So yeah, you asked not one but two questions, and they went okay.
Well, it's weird, wasn't it? So the first question essentially was building up to, after throwing a little bit of shade towards the Steinbrenner by saying that I couldn't wait to see the Red Sox beat the Yankees in London. I then said, you know, were these two teams the only two teams that were considered? I mean, we've chatted about it in the past, and you know, there's been talk about the fact that the Red Sox and Yankees were desperate to be the first to get their brand over here. And that's understandable. And it's understandable that Major League Baseball wanted to have the heavy hitters over there to begin with. They don't want to, and no disrespect to them, they don't want the Marlins and the Rays to come over and play a game because it probably won't inspire people. But, you know, my question was essentially, did anyone else get involved? And if I'm honest with you, and I said this on the tweets as well, I blacked out. I have no idea what the commissioner said back to me. I just sat there and nodded. And I will not lie, there was blackness just coming around my eyes. And I was like, I have no idea what he's saying to me at all. And then when he stopped talking, I just thought, I looked around, and because this handheld mic was getting passed around, I just thought, well, I'm just going to go for it. It was a question that John dared me to do, so I thought I'd ask. I said to Sadiq Khan, who's better, Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge? Which he initially said that Mookie Betts was a pitcher, and he then switched tack and went straight back onto it being Mookie Betts being a hitter. And yeah, I mean, yourself, John, you thought he answered it quite well.
I did. I thought he handled it admirably. Having worked in the trade, in inverted commas, of teaching politicians what to say in the right places, it was clear that he'd read his briefing, which is not a given of politicians. If you want some boring anecdotes, I can tell you about teaching the former Prime Minister David Cameron about Slovenian skiers for EU summits. If you like, we can go on that. But so I know how it works, and he did well. He clearly read, because he mentioned Luis Severino later on as well, which was good. So if that's the extent of his knowledge, then you know he's clearly got the best player on each of those teams. But yeah, have you seen the press conference? Were you able to watch it back afterwards, or were you too busy making sure that pretty cool video was getting into everyone's eyes?
So much like you, I was sort of I had the video on, but I was just listening rather than watching, and I was doing other bits and bobs and kind of had it as background noise. But I wasn't really following along after the initial bits where it was just kind of like statements and bits. I then sort of zoned out and I didn't even realize there was a Q&A at the end until I saw that Mr. Pringle had popped up and asked a couple of questions. But fortunately, I then went back afterwards and watched it through. And that was really good. I mean, Tom, that was amazing to ask those questions. I would never have had the balls to stand up and ask anything, let alone who's better, Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge, to the bloody mayor of London. like you say, I thought Sadiq Khan handled it well. And I thought pretty much everyone on the panel came across reasonably well. And it was interesting to get that insight. Like you say, it'd have been nice to get a few more questions in and maybe a little bit of time for some one-on-one action. But no, really cool and good to see that Tom got stuck in.
I think I'll be honest with you. I know what John's like. As soon as I'm doing anything, I'm just getting messages from him. If you look at my WhatsApp now, it's just like, get a selfie with Dave Winfield, get Rob Manfred to sign a ball. That's all John does, just hassle me. And if it came to questions and I didn't ask one, all in my mind I was thinking was, John's going to hammer me for this. So I just thought, fuck it, why not? I'll just ask one and see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? I stumble over my words. I can't get the mic in my mouth or whatever. I'll just look like an idiot, but it'd be in front of people I don't even know. And that's that. So I just thought, yeah, why not? And I think you said it best, John, in the tweets recently about shooting your shot. Just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, Tom, if the reaction to your question about Betts and Judge was as muted as it seemed on the press conference feed, because it sounded from where I was sat that it went down like a fart in a cathedral, to be honest. But
I think I'll take you back to my original statement about journalists being sent there to go and cover it and having no idea about the game. I think if it was a bunch of us that were sat there, it probably would have gone down a lot better. If we had the 70 or so that turned up to the last MLB community meetup in London, there would have been some chuckles in the crowd and it would have been quite good fun. But bearing in mind, we had everyone's favorite man asking about tax evasion to the Yankees. Wow. Then, I don't think it was the right crowd to do it, but hopefully it'll please some people. I've just literally finished editing the little video to put up on our Twitter feed. So if you haven't seen it, you'll be able to see that video there.
Brilliant. Yeah. Look forward to that. Yeah. I won't be too negative, because this is not a negative day. It's absolutely fantastic. And let's talk about what we want to see in the next year in a moment. And maybe we can ask Ben to sort of pull the curtain back a little bit about what we can expect over the next month or so from him and the team. But can I just say for a moment that the British press, I think you embarrassed yourselves today. As Tom said, you know, it's fine not understanding the game particularly well, but a basic level of research would have been welcome. You've probably known for a week that this was coming. You've learned who was coming and what they were there to talk about. I think some of the questions that were asked to the people who were sat there, who'd come thousands of miles to say something that was incredibly exciting and really engaging and interesting, were actually quite insulting. I'm speaking specifically about the question about there being a London franchise. It just shows a lack of originality, a lack of thought, and a lack of research. I thought that was absolutely pathetic. I'm not going to name any names. You can go back and listen and hear who asked that question. And it was asked more than once. But I thought the questions about tax evasion, specifically about tax loopholes for athletes coming to play in the UK, which I know it's been covered around the Olympics and the World Championships and to a degree around the NFL. I just thought it wasn't the time and the place for those questions. I think they're totally irrelevant. They're for a news report later in the day. Today was not the time to be asking those questions
I thought they were pretty insulting to people who were sat there, who were coming to have a bit of a celebratory event. I think they showed a lack of tact and a lack of interest and a lack of research. And I'm happy to say that we are the exception to that, and we are going to continue banging the drum positively and enthusiastically for this, because we're excited, even if you cynical hacks aren't. So that's it. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Right. Moving on from that. I think we can say now, guys, can't we, that we've kind of known about this for a while, haven't we? I wanted to sort of pull back the curtain a little bit. So yeah, we've known a little while and we are super excited, obviously. And there's been reports coming out for about a month, 6 weeks now, since that Bloomberg report when we did our first podcast on this. And we've been telling you fibs for a while. Hope that doesn't mean that you don't like us anymore. So we've been trying to sort of lead you horses to water, if you like, but some of you haven't wanted to drink. But it's been nice to see a few of you eating your words today and see as many people as excited as we've seen. So how have you guys felt over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, sort of knowing a little bit about this? Maybe Ben, you've been closer to this. Has this been difficult for you to sort of not go around telling everyone?
A little bit, yeah. Just because as a fan, you're so excited for it that you want to go out and tell all your mates and get them all excited for it too. So I would have loved to, as soon as I found out, told everyone and got excited about it and joined all the calls for, you know, what I want to see next and how much ticket's going to be and all that kind of stuff that I'm sure we'll discuss in the coming weeks and months. But in a way, it's been nice. I know, obviously, there's been a lot of sort of people doubting the games happening at all or being a success and all that kind of stuff. But I think a lot of that comes from people who are just so passionate about the game in the UK. They want to make sure it succeeds and they want to feel like that they're doing as much as they can and that Major League Baseball doing as much as they can to make the game succeed here. So I do get the frustrations that people have when they look at, you know, an empty Twitter feed and they look at work not being done that could be done, and they think that, you know what, people should be doing a better job at this. But hopefully today, you know, at least showed people that Major League Baseball was serious. I think Rob Manfred made a pretty strong statement about their intent not just to come to London next year, but to leave a pretty serious footprint on the city and on the continent as a whole of Europe. So hopefully today for a lot of people was a nice sort of sign that Major League Baseball pretty serious about what they're going to do and that there'll be a lot more of this to come in the future.
Well, it's a pretty serious statement of intent that they had John Henry and the Steinbrenners there as well, wasn't it? I mean, you know, it wasn't, as Tom said, Rob Manfred coming in himself. Now, us three know that that's a massive deal, but it maybe wouldn't have made the mark that it has with those three being there and throwing a bit of star power with old Mr. Winfield and his amazing Tash there as well.
It was, for me, as you said, John, it was pretty frustrating because we've obviously known some information over the last 6 to 8 weeks, and it's just trying to generate that positivity and keep it going, keep people interested, keep them engaged and say, you know, hold out, you know, a quiet Twitter account doesn't mean that it's all over and they've given up. And although it is frustrating, I mean, you have built up quite a huge amount of trust with Charlie Hill at MLB UK, and it's really important that we keep that going and we have to have that link. Otherwise, we don't get information like this. We don't get chances like this. We don't get the giveaways that we're getting for people and giving them the opportunity to essentially own free MLB gear, which isn't cheap to buy. And so hopefully, as you say, people will still like us, still follow us and still continue to support us in what we do.
So yeah, a bit of a mea culpa from us and a bit of an apology, if you will. If we've came off as a little bit offhand or standoffish with any of you over the last 6 to 8 weeks who listen to the podcast or who interact with Tom and I on Twitter, then a bit of a sorry. We've been in a bit of a difficult situation. We've not been able to answer questions that have been put to us directly that we'd like to have been able to answer. Sometimes we've been a little bit obtuse in trying to sort of get people to read the runes, if you like. We've been super excited. I mean, you know, that it's reached a peak today. I can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like in June next year, because it was just mega, mega exciting today. We're all as excited as you, and I'm really glad to see the sort of tide of cynicism has damped down, and even the one or two of you who are over on our Twitter account now, again, not going to mention any names because this is a positive show, who maybe have not imagined that this was going to happen. It's been great to see that those worms are turning today. So let's turn a little bit to what we what we anticipate over the next year. And this is a bit of crystal ball gazing with maybe a little bit of information. So Ben, obviously you are back in a big way with the MLB London Facebook group and the MLB London Facebook page and the MLB UK Twitter and Instagram accounts. What can we expect from you over the next month if you're allowed to give anything away?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Major League Baseball's plans, unfortunately. I wish they told me everything, but they don't, and probably for good reason, to be honest. But in terms of what you can expect on social media, I think one thing to point out is that from now until the game, the focus is going to be on making that game a success. And I think it might not be great to hear this, but for the most part, that means kind of ignoring current fans of the sport and trying to bring in newer ones, because they kind of already know that people like me and you and pretty much everyone listening are going to buy tickets anyway. And we're going to turn up and we're going to buy the merchandise and we'll buy the hot dogs and all that stuff. We're kind of money in the bank as far as, you know, from a commercial standpoint, Major League Baseball concerned. So from this point forward for them, I think it's about how do you make the game of baseball attractive to people who will go on Twitter to say it's men in pajamas playing rounders, and how do you change that opinion, and how do you make people who maybe find the sport interesting but wouldn't bother watching it on TV or shelling out 50 quid to go and watch it at London Stadium do so. And I don't think anyone claims to know the answer to that, but I think in terms of what Major League Baseball will be doing, at least in the near future, is trialing out a few things to see what makes people more interested in baseball who aren't already. So whether that's showing off, you know, the best players in the game, whether that's coming up with innovative ideas in terms of how you showcase a sport and get it in front of new audiences. I don't think anyone knows the answer to that, but that's kind of what we'll be doing on that front in the coming weeks. And Battlegrounds was a good example of things that is different, that does, you know, kind of get people interested. You know, hitting balls off a stage into a crowd is, well, a health and safety violation to start with, but it's pretty innovative and different. And I think that kind of thing is the sort of thing we want to be continuing to do in terms of getting people who wouldn't usually think twice about baseball to stop and maybe buy a ticket to the game. So that's not a very specific answer, unfortunately, but that kind of gives a vague impression of what I think the plan will be, at least in terms of stuff we'll be sticking onto Facebook, etc., in the coming weeks.
Great. And obviously, this is another opportunity for me to give a plug to the podcast that I did with Charlie Hill, the MD of MLB Europe, Middle East, Africa and India. My goodness, that's some job. Or MLB UK, as you guys probably know it, a few weeks back. We'll probably tweet that out again, because a lot of what Charlie said is still really relevant about what you can see in the next year. Some of it is not relevant because he says we're really hoping to get games here. And yeah, I think I can probably pull the curtain back here and say that he and I were smirking at one another across the table and trying not to laugh whilst he said that, because he'd literally told me 5 minutes before what was going to happen. So Charlie gives away a lot of what you are going to see over the next year, and hopefully it's going to be really fun. He and I have got a loose commitment to have another conversation after the announcement about what's going to happen between now and then. There are some really, really interesting, which sound like quite niche things about the practicalities of putting on a baseball event in a place where there's never been baseball before. Like, where does the dirt come from? Where does the grass come from? So watch out for more of that in the next few months from us, fingers crossed and touching wood. Tom, what about you? What do you hope and expect in maybe the next 6 months? What are you anticipating from our friends in the office in the run-up to these events?
I think I said it in that post that I wrote probably about 2 years ago now about the potential of games coming to the UK. For me, it's the build-up. You've got to really lay the roots and get people interested from the start, and whether that's with highlights on terrestrial TV, whether it be BBC or ITV, whatever it may be, just to try and get people interested, try and get into the news cycle, try and get people interested in the game. The big one that Commissioner Rob Manfred ended up talking about was actually trying to work with grassroots as well. So teams within the UK themselves. I did hear a question get asked to Sadiq Khan about funding for the GB national team and things like that. I didn't quite hear his answer because it was part of the big media scrum at the end. Mm. But it'd be interesting to see what he says about that, because that's the kind of thing, the way it's got to happen. And it was the head of the MLBPA representative, Tim Slavin, who was saying that, you know, he wants people to finish watching these games and then go out and go and get a ball, go and get a bat, go and get a glove and just start playing the game between themselves in gardens or in fields, wherever it may be. And I think they need to start driving that early if they can, and really start getting this, as Charlie described, the festival of baseball going. So exploring the culture, the music, the history of the game. I mean, the history of the game is so big and it can get people so interested in it. I suppose the biggest challenge, though, is explaining the rules to new people, which I failed today with those journalists.
Should have given them a copy of Zach Campbell's Watching Baseball Smarter, by far and away his number one contribution to the world of baseball. Let's not go into his others.
100%
agree. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that. It's been such a whirlwind about what both Tim Slavin and Rob Manfred mentioned about player development and club development over here. Those were warm words, really positive. I really hope that they're borne out because they were really important to hear. I think some of the people in the UK baseball community, some of their cynicism probably fell away with those words as well. So I think that it's important that you mentioned those, Tom, and absolutely vital that they were shared. I know there's been some disappointment in the UK baseball community that we didn't have baseball here in the Olympics, that it was a real missed opportunity to develop the sport here and have some world-class facilities. So let's cross our fingers that this gives an opportunity to take root. Of course, I couldn't believe that people were forgetting that we had the first British-born player to play in the major leagues for about 4 years, pitching literally yesterday, and no one mentioned him. I know a lot of people are saying he's a plastic Paddy or a plastic Brit, but yeah. Thumbs up to PJ Conlon, 3.2 innings before being brought out of the game with a jammed finger from batting because no to DH and all that. Yeah, so we should probably take a moment just to celebrate the fact that PJ, who you'll have heard us talk about quite a lot on this podcast, made his debut yesterday. So I've got a question for you guys. So this is a bit more crystal ball gazing. So we had Dave Winfield today, obviously a Yankees legend and a San Diego Padres legend. I can't imagine that's going to be the last time that we see Dave over here in the UK over the course of maybe the next 12 months or so. And one would hope and anticipate that both of these two fantastic clubs are going to be incredibly busy over the next 6 to 8 months, hopefully deep into October and November. And hopefully the ones who play in red and white will be busy for just that little bit longer. But we'll wait and see. Obviously, big series this week. I would hope... going to try and send over some megastars to make friends over here. So I've got a question for you two guys. Who do you think are going to be the new ambassadors from the Red Sox and the Yankees to the UK? And I'm going to ask you for one, maybe two current players and a bit of a legend who you think they should be using to flog the magical game of baseball. So we'll go. I'm gonna be maybe slightly mean, and I'm gonna make you do the Yankees, Tom. And Ben, you can take the Red Sox. So Ben, you go first. Who are the guys on the Red Sox and the Red Sox legends who sell this game to this country?
So yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll see a few guys come over. I know we've seen the NBA and the NFL do plenty of cool stuff with players, and I can't see where this would be any different for baseball. And from the Red Sox, I mean, for me, you have to take the best player if you can over. And for me, that's probably Mookie Betts. So I would love to see Mookie come over here and do some stuff. He's a pretty fun guy. I think if we get him down a 10-pin bowling lane, put him in a disguise, get a few people surprised with how good he is at that.
Tiny man, very good at bowling.
And then he takes his disguise off and people go,
who the hell is that?
Who's this small handsome man?
Why was he wearing a disguise?
Are you Mike Trout?
Sorry, Mookie would be a great guy to go, but I think he also seems like a fun personality and someone who would be a good advocate for the game. And for the second player, I guess you probably just want to go with someone with a big personality and who's funny and interesting and would sort of enjoy that aspect of media duty and meeting fans and whatever it might entail. So you guys would be better placed to name someone on the Red Sox roster who might live up to that. But someone like Brock Holt, if he's still around on the team around there, might be nice. Maybe one of the guys from the bullpen who may have sort of less duty in terms of baseball-wise, but will be a little bit more candid when you talk to them. So, yeah, I'm happy for you guys to shout out names, but I think one superstar like Betts and one sort of funnier, more open player who can kind of appeal to the British sense of humour would be a nice mix.
Okay, ex players David Ortiz and Pedro Martinez. That's all you
Phil
need.
Phil Kelly.
No Kelly.
Phil Kelly.
No Kelly.
David Ortiz and Pedro Martinez. Well, hey, that was easy, wasn't it?
Just go for the top. Go for the top. Or if all else fails, we'll just get Jerry Remy instead.
Oh, big Jezza. Get Lewis Tiant down the park showing kids how to pitch. They'll be falling over.
Why have we forgotten Alan Craig, ex-Red Sox legend?
Rusny Castillo, he's got plenty of time on his hands.
Well, then he might be out of a job by then.
Rusny? I hope so. What about the Yankees then, Tom? Who are they going to send over? Some boring no-marks.
Current players, clearly, it's got to be the Kraken, that is Gary Sanchez. He's got to come over. He's a proper charmer. Everyone would love to see him donkey punching people from behind, just hiding behind other players. That's who you want coming over, a proper rough and tumble. It's going to get tasty with the Kraken.
They'd love him down West Ham, mate, wouldn't they?
And then if we're going to keep this nastiness up, let's go for the man, the legend, ex-Yankees legend, Goose Gossage. He has to come over and be interviewed by the podcast that developed its name from his comments. His comments.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't thought about Goose. Do you think he'd enjoy our podcast? I've got a feeling he probably wouldn't.
I think he'd love the mentions of WRC Plus and Baseball Reference War.
Yeah, that's one for Darius to do, that interview. That's what we've allocated him whilst he's in the rainforest. Yeah, we had a lovely time. You've got to interview Goose Gossage about sabermetrics. I like it. I'm not sure about Gary Sanchez.
Clearly, it's going to be Didi. It's going to be Didi or it's going to be Stanton if he's got some time.
Oh, yeah, Didi would be great. Didi! I heard he's quite good.
He's no Mookie Betts.
He's no Mookie Betts. Neither's Aaron Judge. Come on, Sadiq. You should have known that, for heaven's sake. Did you not see the Betsometer last year?
What is he doing on Twitter? He's got an account, but clearly he's not using it properly.
Sadiq, well, if he's not seen the Betsometer, he clearly hasn't seen Ed Miliband retweeting us. Thought they were mates.
Do you want to talk about the swag that I've got that we're going to give away?
Yeah, what are we going to give away? That sounds like a good place to park this. What have you got for the people?
So what I'm going to give away is, because I literally have no use for these. I don't even know if people use these anymore.
Is it a Yankees hat?
No, it's not, unfortunately. I've got two MLB USB sticks. Do people still use USB sticks?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, there we go. There's two there. One of them is...
My father-in-law does.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Does he want to enter the competition?
Yeah, I'll get him to open a Twitter account.
One of them has got some superficial damage to the packaging, but I was made promises about the storage that weren't kept. So we've got those. We've got in these tubes that you two can see, we've got some posters, which are essentially the promotional posters for the London series, saying like old rivalry, new ground, etc. I don't know if before I announce this, John, do you want one of these? Because I'm going to keep one.
What?
It's a T-shirt that says London Series.
Oh yeah, I have that. I'm not
giving that away anymore, so I'll keep that one. <to myself. laughs> I've got one of these, and I've got another one which I think you want, John, which is epic. It looks like a moleskin notebook that says London Series 19 on it, and it is beautiful, and I love stationery, so I'm keeping that.
I do too, so I'm definitely keeping that. That's probably why you and I get on so well.
Yeah, I've got you a London Series pen as well, John.
Oh, exciting.
Ben, I'm not offering these to you because I'm guessing you're just going to go find these in the stationery drawer. There's going to be a little
point out. I have received zero merch. I was sat in an office in Chiswick all day today. It's been so fun. While you were out there gallivanting and messing and joking around with Robbie Manfred and getting all your merch. This is someone there.
I think I'm going to keep this, which is a Red Sox hat that has London Series on the side.
Oh my goodness.
I'm quite happy with it. I've got a tote going spare. Now, every man knows they need a good tote bag. So on one side, it's got MLB logo. The other side, it's got London Series 19.
I love a tote. I love that.
Well, right, so John's giving that. We're not actually giving much away, are we? But what we are giving away is 2 $9.50 snapback New York Yankees caps with London Series on the side, because no idiot from this podcast wants them.
Mate, those will be in high demand. So I'm giving away a Red Sox shirt today on the Twitter, in case you hadn't seen that. If you want to get your part of history from my box of stuff, I thought I'd keep the Cincinnati Reds hat in there for another day for a real big announcement. You know, that Joey Votto's coming here or something. Oh, well, that sounds fun. There's going to be a few fun competitions coming down the pike, but only after I've had my choice of the spoils.
I've got another competition as well. So, you guys know, there's a gentleman called Brian Wright, not David, Brian Wright, who is a writer for SB Nation, Bleacher Report, etc. And he's written a wonderful book called Mets in 10. So he contacted us to talk about this book and said he'd like to talk about it in the podcast. So he's going to be coming on soon. It's called Mets in 10s, Best and Worst of an Amazing History. I've read the book already. He sent us two sample copies, which we're going to give away as prizes, and he's happy to do. So he'll be coming up soon on the podcast. But this book's excellent. Essentially, it's just pages and pages of lists of 10 things the Mets have done, whether it's players, pitchers, events in history, years, World Series, rings, etc. It's a good book. It's really nice to read, very easy to read. You could call it like a coffee table or toilet book. It's one of those.
Excellent. So from toilets to the end, that was the worst transition in the history of this podcast. And if you go back to episodes 1 through 30, there's some really awful ones there as well. Let's just go with final thoughts. And anything from you, Ben? Maybe just distill how the last 6 weeks to 2 months has been for you, and what sort of catharsis you felt today in getting that announcement out in the public.
Yeah, I mean, it was just surreal today, to be honest. Like, you talk all about, you know, having MLB games, and ever since I followed the sport, it's always been kind of the pinnacle of what we want to achieve as fans here in the UK, is getting a game over here. And I think for most of us, it's been a pipe dream for a long time that it just wouldn't really make much sense then to do it. And slowly we sort of heard whispers and bits and bobs. And today I think we kind of saw the culmination of a lot of hard work from people and a lot of hopes and dreams for fans. So it was really nice just to kind of see that all come together and see the fans all unite. And having sat and trawled through Facebook comments and Twitter mentions and stuff all day, it's been really nice just to see fans come together and celebrate the fact that we are getting this game, and that June next year should be bloody brilliant. So yeah, it's been a really nice day, and like you say, a combination of a couple of months work and build up, and looking forward to what's coming in the future. So yeah, if anyone has any issues with all the stuff going up on social media, then please get in touch at john.mcgee@gmail.com.
That is not my email address, but you know, please feel free to send john.mcgee any of your complaints about MLB Twitter, MLB Facebook in the future. Yeah, I'm not going to give out my email address. I nearly did that then. Tom, what about you? It's been the biggest day for you of all of us. So I'm gonna leave you to take out the show before we do the wrap up.
Okay, yeah. So it's been a huge day, and I think we've put it out on the Twitter enough recently, including today on my private Twitter, my own Twitter, and the Backflips and Nerds account as well. We started this 3 years ago, and to get to this stage now is absolutely incredible. We still cannot believe that it's happening. 3 years ago, if you told us that I'd be asking Sadiq Khan who was better, Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge, you'd probably just laugh at me, mainly because Aaron Judge was probably in AAA at that point and wasn't actually that good. But the big thing for me was the fact that there was plenty of thank yous on the stage from everybody, you know, from John Henry to Steinbrenner's, from Steinbrenner's back to the commissioner, lots of thank yous. There was lots of hard work mentioned through different people and how this has all come together. There was a lot of mentions about grassroots, but the big thing for me was the fact that they really don't want to do what the NFL did when they first got here. And this isn't to say the NFL did it wrong, because clearly it's worked for them, but they don't want to just arrive, here's your baseball, and then disappear and then hope it grows from there. They are seriously committed to this. And, you know, I don't know, I haven't got any information, but you might not necessarily see anything happen this season, but certainly next season we're going to be seeing a huge drive, especially with the build-up towards June. I cannot wait. And I know for a fact there are the majority of our followers, listeners, subscribers who also cannot wait. And, you know, if you can, any event that's coming up, if you can take two friends and get them interested, then they can take two friends. We can build this game. We can get more and more people interested. And remember, it's not just 2019 this is happening. 2020 is also happening. So we need to make sure we hit them hard. So get to, I should have had the website address. MLB.com/London Series, I think it is. Ben might be able to tell us. And you can pre-register for tickets there. Remember, the number of tickets that become available for us, the general public, is going to be pretty much based on whether we flood them with requests for tickets. So get over there and request as many as you can, because otherwise there's going to be prawn sandwich eating fools in the executive boxes taking up our tickets.
Yeah. Let's make this a celebration for fans. Let's get the stands full of fans of every club. I want to see all 30 shirts, including you, Reds fan. We want to see you all there. I'm going to be wearing a Reds shirt anyway, you all know. We want to see everyone there, have a great time, have a lot of fun. You know, fingers crossed, we will be doing some things around that time too. We haven't really discuss this properly yet, but you know, it would be remiss of us not to try and put on some sort of event drinks podcast type thing. We'll be more of that from us over the next year or so, but it's not our event, it's MLB's event, it's the Red Sox's event, it's the Yankees event, and it's the guys in the London office event and Ben and the team over in Chiswick who've put all the hard work in. Just a quick few reminders for all of you who I know are regular and loyal listeners to this podcast. Tell a friend, if not now, then when. We'll be here all of this year. This is the time for them to get into baseball. And if they want to do it by listening to some guys with British accents telling them their WRC plus from their WOBA and their judge from their bets and so on, we're the place to do it. We have a lot of fun and we have a great time hearing from all of you and interacting with you. You know where we are, but if you don't, we're on Twitter @batflips_nerds. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. And of course, we are at the British baseball website, batflipsandnerds.com. And that is a wrap on MLB London Series Announcement Day. And we'll see you again next time when we'll probably be less excited, but no less committed. Thank you very much, everyone, and speak to you soon.